Welcome to the Lambs to Lions podcast. Thank you for joining us. Whether you are exploring your faith in God or looking to grow deeper in your walk with Christ, you're going to be encouraged, challenged, and transformed by this teaching from God's Word.
Morning, men. It's an honor and it's a blessing to be here to share God's Word with you this morning. As Pastor Matt has said, that this message is incredible. I've had to redo it three times. Yeah, and you know that when God's in it and he's got something specific, it has to go through a refining process, right? Yeah. And so today we're going to take a bit of a deep dive into one of the Old Testament prophets. And I've entitled this message, God's Provision, He's the Great Giveaway. And our reference is going to be 1 Kings chapter 17. And we're just going to take a deep dive into the whole chapter from verse 1 to 24. And so one of the things I want to highlight is where God was in Elijah's circumstances during the reading of this chapter. So there's 24 verses here, so we'll give everybody an opportunity to come up and share and maybe read a couple of verses or read one verse. I think we have enough that we can do one verse each. We'll start with the guys online if they want to read. If you guys want to read one verse each, and then we can just get the guys in-house to read, and then we'll carry on with the message. Sure. Denis, do you want to start with this one?
Sure. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word."
Amen. Two. Lady, you want to do verse 2?
Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which follows into the Jordan, four paths."
Okay, verse 4.
"You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there." 5.
So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Cherith ravine, end of the Jordan, and stayed there. 6.
The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook.
It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Verse 8.
Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food."
So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, "Would you please bring me a little water in a cup?" 11.
As she was going to get it, he called to her, "Bring me a bite of bread too." 12.
Oh, sorry about that. "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die."
Wow.
Yeah. I get the heavy one. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son." 14.
"For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land."
Come on. Anybody else?
Probably 15?
15. Okay, she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. 16.
The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jug of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he had spoken by Elijah. Verse 17.
Sometime later, the woman's son became sick. He grew worse and worse and finally died.
She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?"
19, "Give me your son." Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, "Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him."
Anybody else?
The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Wow.
Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the lower parts of the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son is alive."
Thank you, gentlemen, for assisting in reading this. Verse 24 says, "The woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth.'" Wow. So, gentlemen, this morning, there's so much to unpack in this message. And so I encourage you to, if you get a chance to, look up the life of Elijah, because being a prophet of the Lord, he's got lots of life experiences where God clearly spoke to him. Mm. And he was a man that he didn't let the distractions get in his way. Like he went away oftentimes and he heard the word of the Lord speaking to him. And how many do you know that when the Lord speaks, it's important for us to listen and be obedient. And so that's we're going to pick that up today. So we're going to take a snapshot of the life of Elijah. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet who opposed vigorously and challenged by word and action both Baal worship and those who engaged in it. Okay, we're picking up the story a little bit before chapter 17. So the wicked king Ahab and his wife Jezebel were leading Israel to worship the god Baal. So this is where we're picking this up. Instead of the one true God leading Israel to worship the god Baal, God the Father of all, sorry. This is a time where great crisis was brought on by Ahab's promotion of Baal worship. As the events unfold, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and he instructed him to get up and leave. So as Elijah was challenging Ahab and his wife, he knew that his life was in danger. So the word of the Lord spoke to him and said, "Get up and leave and go to this region." So the Lord told Elijah to head eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine. The absence of the prophet confirmed and intensified the judgment as Elijah hid in the ravine. One of the provisions that God had supplied to Elijah was the gift of protection. So I've entitled this message, God's Provision, the Great Giveaway. Come on. So there's so much to unpack here, but we're just going to skim the surface today. And I encourage you to dig a little deeper on your own time. Okay. One of the provisions that God had supplied to Elijah was the gift of protection in the ravine. Another one was the Lord spoke to him that you can drink water from the ravine. And God provided the water for nourishment. And then the Lord instructed him that he says, "I, the Lord, will provide food for you day and night. From the ravens are going to bring food for you day and night. So you're just thinking about all the children of Israel coming out of Israel and going into the promised land, and how God provided manna from them. And just think about this is the source that we live in. We get to live in this today. We can tap into God's source, mm-hmm. and we're gonna go into that a little bit more here. The fact that Elijah was sustained in a miraculous way apart from living among his own people demonstrated that the word of God was not dependent on the people, but the people were dependent on the word of God. Right? Now it came to pass in the when the brook had dried up because of lack of rain in the area, the Lord had spoke to Elijah and instructed him to a region known as Zarephath of Sidon. He said, "I've instructed a widow to supply you with food." So Elijah did as the Lord commanded. When he got to the area, he approached a widow who was gathering sticks to take home, make a meal for her son, as we read in the scripture. So Elijah asked her for some water, and while getting water, "Please bring me some bread." She told Elijah that she had only a small handful of flour left in her jar and a small amount of oil left in her jug. The word of the Lord came to Elijah to tell the widow that when she brings the water and make a loaf of bread, her supply of flour in the jar and the oil in her jug will not run dry until the Lord brings rain on the land. This widow was obedient. God had been speaking to this widow prior to Elijah showing up on scene, right? Therefore, God's provision to her would not run out until he brought rain on the land. Man, this is the faith that God is asking us.
Yeah.
This is the faith. Pastor Matt often talks about distractions that are distracted in our life, mm-hmm. so that we can hear the word of the Lord speaking into us. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we live in this world where we're so full of distractions, and distractions can come in many shapes and forms and sizes and technologies and different things like that. But we really need to get rid of the distractions and hear what the Lord is saying to us, just so that we can tap into this gift that he has for us, right? His gift of provision, the unlimited resources, he has favor for us. So here, I have another analogy, another story I wanted to tell. I got an opportunity to meet a pastor when we were living in Grand Prairie, Pastor Craig Hill. And so this next part is another example of God's provision. And so God gave him a vision of while he was teaching in Africa. And this vision is the vision of a snowpack in snowfields up in a mountain range. And so this analogy is based on the idea of the snowpack is God's provision for all of us. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to read through this here. It's very impactful. The process of what he describes here that the Lord had given him, this can apply to our time, resources, or talents. Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor Matt has talked about this oftentimes, about how we need to be good stewards of our time, our resources, and our talents. And this is an example of that as well. So this is Pastor Craig Hill heard the Lord speaking to him while teaching in Africa. The Lord said that there's a huge snowfield in the mountains, virtually with an infinite supply of water. There were three rivers emanating from the snowfield. On the first river lived a man whose life experience is such that he never quite had enough water. And his life experience confirmed this. So what does he do with the water coming down the river? He builds a dam in the river and collects all the water he can, not leaving any water to flow downstream for others to use. This man's view of the water includes what is available to him in his lake. Therefore, he must conserve the water and must be very careful because there's never really enough coming down for him to use. Mm-hmm. On the second river that flows from the snowfield, there lives a man whose life experience tells him there's virtually plenty of water to meet the needs. So there's no need to build a dam in the river. However, there's never quite enough water to really meet the needs and desires for water usage. Thus, he uses all the water he can and lets a very little small amount flow downstream for others to use. However, most of the water coming down the river is consumed by his ever-expanding needs and desires, so not much is left to flow downstream. This man's view of water coming down the stream is that there is more water available upstream, but his volume and rate of flow is unlimited. Therefore, he uses all that he can as it flows through his property. If the flow of water is increased in his river, this man will inevitably find more uses for the water. This man will build a swimming pool for his children. If the flow still increases, he will build a water park and install a series of beautiful water fountains on the property. No matter how much water comes down the river, there is never quite enough for him to really do everything he would like to do with the water. On the third river that flows from the snowfield, there lives a man. This man's life experience tells him that there's so much water up in the snowfield mm-hmm. that he possibly couldn't use all the water coming down the river. Mm-hmm. As a result of this understanding, this man starts to dig canals out to outlying areas to help water the fields of others who don't live near the river. He empties as much as he can through the canals as he has dug three canals and seems to be more water coming down the river than he possibly can use. So most of it flows down the stream for others to use. Each year, this man plans to dig a few more canals out to the neighbors that don't have that don't live close to the river. In the next year, there's a plan for three more canals. The following year, he's hoping to dig five more canals that can go out to even further from his river. It seems like no matter how many canals he digs, there's just more and more water that keeps coming down the river. As a matter of fact, this man is thinking all the time about how he can hire more equipment operators with bulldozers to help dig canals faster to get the water out to the outlying neighbors who need the water and who are far from the river. This man's experience of life is just that he could not use all the water coming down the river. If the flow of water is increased in the river, the man living along this river will simply dig more and more canals to get the water out of the surrounding areas to help others. A couple of things I want to highlight in these examples is God has always been the source of everything that we have and everything, every good thing that we are trusting him for. My question for you this morning is, what are you trusting God for? Where God gives you vision, he will give you provision. Right? Where God gives you vision, he will give you provision.
Amen.
Set that goal. You know, some of you may know that we've taught the Dave Ramsey financial course, and one of the quotes that they talk about, and I firmly believe, is if you don't set a goal, you'll reach it every time. Oh, yeah. Right? Where there's no goal, you'll reach that every time. You need that end place to focus on, right? One of the significances with all these experiences is the gift of being able to hear instructions from the Lord and tap into the fact that he is the only true source. You know, we look at the example of Elijah, how he tapped into God's source. He oftentimes went off into a quiet place to hear the word of the Lord coming down and giving him instructions. You know, these examples is, I guess if you're a sports fanatic, it could be like your head coach giving you the play-by-play or giving you the play script of what your team members are to do. And when you can tap into that and understand all the synchrony, it's incredible. And as we're obedient to hearing God's voice and doing exactly what he calls us to do, then you know that you're going to be tapped into what his resources are. One of the other part to this year, guys, is I want to tell you the good news that the most incredible gift that the world has ever seen, not only is the resources that he gives us, but God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. Mm. And as the title of my message is, the great giveaway, God's greatest provision is, you know, as we tap into the source, we need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And as we invite Jesus Christ into our heart, that's the most incredible, fulfilling gift that anybody could ever have. And so John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 17 says that God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save it through him. This is the ultimate gift, gentlemen, of giving his Son as a gift to the world. Guys, my takeaway this morning is, are you willing to let go of the distractions of the world, whatever that may look like? It could be social media. I know many of us have been challenged in this last few weeks is to fast from social media, because social media can be such a distraction. You know, when we're trying to get in tune, learning how to tune into hearing the voice of the Lord, right? Whatever that looks like for you, being able to clearly hear from God will ultimately allow us to tap into all that he has for us. There's a song that we sing here at the church, and many of you may know it. I'll recite the words, and maybe eventually we'll sing it in the group here. But the song is called "The Lord Will Provide." The verse 1 says, "Look at the flowers in all of their beauty." Gentlemen, all we have to do is just step aside and just look and see what God has created for us, right? "I don't have to wonder. You know what you're doing. So why should I worry at all? You're faithful to supply." God is always faithful to supply everything that we have, right? Everything that we need, everything that we need. My Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what you're going through, God will provide. That's right. Every single time. The Lord will provide. My Father has it. He's got unlimited resources for each and every one of us. No matter what we're going through, he just tap into his resources, right? Verse 2 says, "Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow and what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, because your love will satisfy." Once we tap into the source of having the love of Jesus in our heart, nothing else matters, right? He will supply everything that we have, everything that we need, once we tap into him, right? The bridge says, "Seek first the kingdom and his treasures, and everything will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He has so much for us." Mm-hmm. "He gives us blessings upon blessings, and I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide." Mm-hmm. So as Pastor Matt alluded to a little bit, in 2023, we had the Man Up Conference. I'll just give you a little snapshot of prophecy that was prayed over me. 2023, a Man Up Conference, I'll call him Pastor Rex Crane, had spoken a prophecy over me. My family and I were going through some finances, challenges, opportunities, you might call it. Mm-hmm. And Rex Crane had said that, there's somebody here that is struggling with a debt loan. And he called that loan right down to the very last dollar. And when he called that loan down to the very last dollar, I was like, I got shivers going down my spine, and I just like, okay, God, I got to put my hand up, because it's all about you right now. And so within 6 months, that debt was taken care of. God gets the glory for that, and everybody's journey, we're going through finances, different situations, everybody's journey is going to be different. Not every situation is going to look the same. And so our journey was, we had a car loan that was $27,000 in, and we were able to pay it down enough to be able to not be upside down in the loan. And 6 months later, we sold the car. We had more than enough to pay off the debt, plus a little seed. And so I told my wife, we need to celebrate, because this is incredible. Mm-hmm. And so we went out for dinner and celebrated a little bit, but then we took the rest of that seed and we invested it. And, we've been coming up this April, coming up next year, it's been almost 2.5 years that we've been debt-free.
Wow.
And so,